Hey, Prime members, did you know that you could be listening to this show ad-free on Amazon Music? With Amazon Music, you get access to the most ad-free top podcasts. Avoid the ads and start listening today.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, May 16th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Elon Musk is in charge of several of the world's leading tech companies. Tesla, Twitter, SpaceX, just to name a few. And how he runs those businesses and his vision for them is something a lot of people pay attention to, from investors and employees to other tech leaders. Today, we're going to look at how his approach to launching rockets could be used to make his social media company soar. But first, starting with news about Microsoft's plan to buy video game company Activision Blizzard for $75 billion. The European Union's antitrust watchdog has signed off on the deal. The companies are still fighting to win approval from other global regulators. Just a few weeks ago, UK regulators rejected the deal, and Microsoft plans to appeal. In the US, the Federal Trade Commission has sued to block the tie-up. Our tech reporter Sarah Needleman has more on what the EU approval means for the acquisition.
Many legal experts say that they don't think this will really have any sort of an impact, that the FTC at least will go ahead with its case as planned, and that even if Microsoft files an appeal to the UK, which it is said is going to do, the legal experts say it's really not going to matter, that they all have their own processes for making these sort of decisions. That said, judges don't live in a vacuum. They are aware of what's going on. But generally speaking, they have different rules. Even if there's some similarities, at the end of the day, these regulators will go ahead and do what they think is right, regardless of what regulators in other jurisdictions decide.
Despite growing recognition of the importance of good cybersecurity, newer companies that provide cybersecurity products and services are struggling to raise money. Now, after a long period of chasing growth, these startups are refocusing on profits and trimming their workforces as they grapple with economic uncertainty. WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter James Rundle has been looking into the impact this could have on the industry.
The negative side, of course, is that with less companies around, there's less competition, there's less innovation, and particularly in cybersecurity, that really is critical. On the positive side, however, the cybersecurity industry has been long overdue for a correction of sorts. The vendor landscape is just bloated right now. There are dozens of companies offering products in every single vertical you can think of, from firewalls to email security to endpoint protection. And it's a problem for chief information security officers. These guys are inundated with product pitches on a daily basis. So some consolidation could help. It could also help move the industry towards providing products which are more in line with what they want at the moment, which are products that can do multiple things at once rather than single solutions for single problems. That's been an issue in cybersecurity for a number of years, and it's one that analysts say will likely be addressed coming out of this moving forward.
And Amazon has recently made one of the biggest shifts to the way it ships goods around the world. In the past, Amazon stored goods at warehouses in 8 regional zones in the U.S., Now, commonly purchased items are being placed throughout the country to be closer to customers. The change is helping the e-commerce giant speed up deliveries and boost profitability. Amazon added warehouses, trucks, and staff to keep up with a surge in demand during the pandemic. But since then, the demand has cooled, and revamping the delivery network became a priority, according to executives. All right, can you run a social media company like a space company? After the break, we'll find out why it may be easier than you think. We'll be back in a moment.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Last week, we learned Linda Yaccarino, a veteran advertising executive who recently left NBC Universal, would become Twitter's next CEO. According to Twitter's owner and current CEO, Elon Musk, she'll focus on the business operations, while he focuses on the product and tech side. That division of labor is not something new to Musk. He employs it at his other company, SpaceX. With me to talk about how that managerial structure works and whether a social media company can mirror that approach is our aerospace reporter, Micah Maidenberg. Micah, can you briefly describe how SpaceX is run? What is Musk's role and what do other executives do?
So from the very top of the managerial ranks at SpaceX, you have Elon Musk, of course, who founded the company more than 20 years ago, and Gwynne Shotwell. Ms. Shotwell is SpaceX's longtime president and chief operations officer. And as those titles might imply, Shotwell is focused on day-to-day operations, employee issues, and customer relationships. That leaves Elon Musk more free to do engineering, design, you know, get into some of the technical nitty-gritty that he's talked about in general as the stuff that he really likes to focus on, you know, not just at SpaceX, but other companies that he owns or leads. Now, there's a lot of vice presidents and other executive leaders like underneath them that are handling more specific programs at the company, rockets, satellites, and so on. But just at the very top, that split between Mr. Musk and Ms. Shotwell has been a really important one over time for the company.
I mean, Musk is known for putting a lot of pressure on his companies, on his teams to get big things done fast. How has Shotwell talked about working under that pressure?
She said a big part of her job is basically translating these enormously ambitious goals that Musk has set out for SpaceX and translating them, turning them into reality, basically. Things that can be supported by customers and that can work technically. Ms. Shotwell has talked about how Elon Musk has very aggressive timelines. He wants to push hard and fast. She's talked about how SpaceX doesn't always meet those timelines, but she says, in general, they get the stuff that they set out to do done. The aggressive approach to getting stuff done, Ms. Shotwell said, drives the company to do stuff better, to make stuff faster. She said that she doesn't necessarily think that having more time and more money will produce the best outcome for any given technical program. But rather, that pressure across various teams is like what has allowed SpaceX to sort of leap out to a lead in a couple of the key business divisions that it's set up over the years.
What indication do we have that Musk is following that same approach that he's used at SpaceX at Twitter?
There's more than a few indications that's going on. One is just simply the heightened kind of pressure on employees. You know, obviously Twitter is a much leaner company than it was before Elon Musk purchased it. People have left, they've been laid off. And the folks that are there, you know, I'm sure listeners will recall, were expected to take an extremely hardcore approach to, you know, how they approach their jobs. And that's not dissimilar, again, to how SpaceX has sort of hired, built a team of engineers and other technical folks and other support personnel and so on, and expected them to build quickly and be extremely dedicated to what they're supposed to do. So that's one. Another one is the stock-based compensation approach that for years SpaceX has used sort of stock grants to help pay employees, and Twitter is doing the same. Of course, they're both private companies, so it creates some different dynamics than how you'd use shares to pay employees, like at a publicly traded company. And third, maybe the last thing to mention is just this broader sort of ethos, if you will, of trying to do things quickly, even at the risk of failure. SpaceX is really well known across the space industry for being willing to bend some metal, to destroy hardware. Listeners, of course, remember about a month ago, April 20th, the company blasted off a Starship rocket for the first time, and it flew for about 4 minutes before it was destroyed. And, you know, the company and Musk has said, look, we got data from that flight, we got information, and the next one will be better.
Are there any drawbacks to that approach or any reason why it might not work for a social media company the way it works for a space company?
It might actually be in some ways easier to do this at Twitter because you're making changes to a software platform that users experience. Whereas at SpaceX, you might be spending weeks and months developing, building rockets, bending metal, dealing with hazardous fuel propellants and other sort of chemicals and building pouring concrete for launch pads. So there's a lot of like physical infrastructure and changes that happen in the real world, you know, to like blast off a rocket. And you lose a lot of that work.
Twitter is about to get a new CEO. Are there any overlaps in style or approach that we know about between Iacarino and Shotwell that might be important for working with Musk?
Both Ms. Iacarino and Ms. Shotwell have these reputations of being really tough, really good at their jobs, but pretty congenial too. That makes sense if you think about it, because both are dealing with customers of all kinds. And you've got to both build relationships with customers, and of course you're bargaining with them too over like terms of various deals. That's a bit of a contrast with Mr. Musk, who has this very big megaphone on Twitter. He has a lot of followers there and chimes in on a lot of different topics. He certainly has gained some notoriety for his temperamental, at times, like manner.
All right, that was our aerospace reporter, Micah Maidenberg. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you like our show, please leave a rating and review. It helps others find us. And if you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. You'll find a lot more tech news there. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.